sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Third and final hour on today, Election Day, Tuesday, August 4th, 2026 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Michigan voters will be picking the majority party nominees for several races today. But Attorney General and Secretary of State will not be two of them. They are decided at party conventions. But internal polling data circulated by legislative players show moving to a primary would be a slam dunk. The research firm Deep Root conducted a survey across the political spectrum. Not one sector is opposed to shifting from political party conventions, nominating those candidates to a Michigan primary vote. Females, 73%. Males, 70% on board. Every age group as well, with an average of 72%. The younger voters are at 73%. Seniors are at the same figure, which means there's no generation gap. Based on education, the numbers are the same as well. Those with no college degree support with 72%. Even those with advanced degrees support it at 71%. Regions of the state, 63% in the Flint-Saginaw market support the change. Up north, 74%. 73% in Detroit, Lansing, and Grand Rapids is close behind at 72%. So basically, over 70% of the voters want to vote or who will be the candidates for Attorney General and Secretary of State. Now, the main reason I believe the election laws, the way it was set up previously, was to continue having vibrant county parties. Precinct delegates. What's the purpose of being a precinct delegate if it's not going to be a state convention that you'll be voting for these offices? Why even run to be a precinct delegate? And if you're not a precinct delegate, what's the purpose of having a county party? County conventions call the delegates to a call to convention to determine who gets to go to state convention to represent your county. Now, it's kind of interesting that it ranges anywhere from 65% to 70% no matter what group you look at. Gender, age, education, and even region of the state. Well, Speaker Matt Hall, his office has not addressed this issue, but there are strong indications that Hall wants to run a bill this fall if he can get enough votes to do it. Changing the way attorney generals and secretary of states are nominated by the parties. It's pretty interesting situation happening. We'll continue to follow this and see where it goes. What do you guys think? Move it to a primary or leave it with the delegates at a state convention? Short break, a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
After avoiding debates for months, John James just made it clear why. When questioned by Perry Johnson about his support for the reviled Killswitch mandate and being funded by data center developers, John James strangely replied,
"I know when you were born, black people could still be bought and sold in this country, but no one owns me."
Huh? John James went right to the Democrat strategy of playing the race card. John James is no conservative. He's a lying liberal. John James as governor? Terrifying thought. Perry Johnson is our conservative choice. Non-politician, real Republican, really smart. Helps save the American automobile industry and can apply the same skills to get Michigan back on track. Perry Johnson for Michigan.
I'm Perry Johnson, and I approve this message. Paid for by Perry Johnson for governor.
The Iron Pig on Old 27 South across from Otsego Lake is open for breakfast 7 days a week from 8 to 11. Sundays from 8 to 2 with a sumptuous breakfast buffet on the weekends. With golf season open, Iron Pig has room for any size golf group, or bring our delicious menu and legendary barbecue to your group. Either way, the Iron Pig has the team and location to make your up north dining experience truly memorable. Visit Iron Pig Smokehouse on Facebook, where we are always announcing new events and menu additions.
Well, I'm sure by now y'all up here in northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithing, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The Gun Doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the north. And you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the Gun Doctor.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TruckerRandy or call 800-654-9659.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment of hour number three. An internal strategy memo from a political campaign firm, Vote for Change LLC. argues that this 2026 election cycle is showing that traditional campaigning strategy of paid advertising and mass door-to-door canvassing is weakening. With lots of TV ads, numerous mailers, and quick door-to-door lit drops have worked in the past, but now, a time when it's difficult to get voters' attentions, it may not be working as much. In today's social media world, getting attention is abundant and cheap. Winning trust, however, has become scarce and expensive, according to Alina Greer of VFC. Campaign money buys attention. However, it does not buy trust. The report concludes that paid communications are becoming less persuasive in prominent races, where voters already understand the political divide, while lower profile and down ballot contests may still be getting benefits from candidate identification and direct voter contact. Canvassing also remains a well-supported method of turning out known supporters, according to the memo, but it's getting done correctly to turn out undecided and persuadable voters. Longer conversations in which canvassers really listen to the voters and exchange personal stories rather than simply reciting campaign arguments are being shown to be more effective in 2026. Research cited in the memo found otherwise identical conversations produce different results based on the script design. Argument-based conversations showed no effect, while non-judgmental personal exchanges created effects lasting for months. Same canvassers, same doors, same universe, same duration. The only difference is how the script was designed. That approach generally requires trained canvassers to spend 10 to 20 minutes with each voter, rather than temporary workers reading a 45-second script and thanking them for their time. Additionally, turnout operations should focus on high-volume, brief contacts with identified supporters during the final 10 days of an election. A persuasion program should target undecided voters in less defined races, locally retained canvassers who can hold longer conversations provide better results. However, the two operations have separate pricing, staffing models, and measured results. Turnout work should be judged by contacts per dollar, while persuasion work should be measured by completed conversation and changes dedicated through control groups and holdout precincts. Very interesting statement there. Ring cameras, secured buildings, and declining not to answer the door means that $1.30 per door proves to only provide a 12% contact rate. When you multiply it out, it ends up costing $11 for each actual conversation, according to this memo. Improvements in routing, also the time of day canvassers work, and whether or not they have actually knocked on single-family residential doors, or are they going into apartment complexes? report illustrated comparisons found that a $130,000 high-volume operation compared to smaller, more expensive narrative-based programs produced roughly the same estimated number of vote equivalents. The difference was that the standard volume model relied entirely on turnout, while the deeper model carried at least the possibility of persuasion. Also, finally, the report concluded, outside money is not dead. However, its impact has become less predictable when voters recognize or dislike the organization financing the communication. For example, Right to Life of Michigan, they just came out and endorsed Perry Johnson on the Republican gubernatorial campaign. Well, if you're pro-abortion, Perry Johnson would be the last person you'd want to vote for. If you're a Republican conservative and being endorsed by Right to Life of Michigan carries some weight, well, then that may influence you to vote for him versus John James. Finally, VFC used Michigan's U.S. Senate primary as an example. Although the spending advantage goes to U.S. Congresswoman Haley Stevens outspending El Sayed 12-1. The report said much of Stevens' spending came from outside organizations who end up paying higher advertising rates. El Sayed held an advantage in candidate-controlled fundraising and small-dollar donations, which the memo treats as a possible indicator of volunteer strength and organic voter support. The report disputes the idea that grassroots contributions have collapsed this year, 2026. They found aggregate small-dollar giving actually increased, but the number of campaigns using Act Blue on the Democrat side grew much faster. It left average small-dollar revenue per campaign actually 24% lower at the same point in the 2022 cycle. As a result, is a winner-take-most system in which down-ballot candidates are competing against nationally prominent campaigns for the same limited pool of donors. So the bottom line to all this, they're claiming that volunteers knocking on doors and willing to spend time actually talking, interacting with the people earns more votes than any other mechanism out there. You know what? I totally disagree, and I'll tell you why. Somebody rings our doorbell and we don't recognize them, we don't answer it. That's number one. Number two, a lot of people are not politically engaged. Everybody watches TV, whether it's sports, news, favorite shows, whatever. Campaign ads running, I believe, do a lot more than people trying to talk for 15 to 20 minutes at each door. Totally disagree with this report, but we'll see what happens. The organization VFC is planning to test its thesis by examining contact rates, visibility of political cues, precinct level results, small donor support, and differences among the campaigns who use actual, real, individual canvassers. So we'll see where this goes. Now, I want to make sure that you're fully aware and you know that you can access a database of low propensity Republicans. We've talked about it many times. Want to remind you again, all the way through roughly 6:30, 7 o'clock tonight, you can reach out to your friends. If they're on this list, you need to give them a call and say, hey, you need to get out and vote today. 10X, text me my phone, 231-360-5140. Text me 10X, and I'll send you the link. 10xvotes.com. All you have to do is click on Michigan, create an account, and be able to access the database. And if you search for a friend of yours and their name is on this list, you need to give them a call. Hey, man, you need to get out to vote today. Critically, critically important. So, one last number to throw out there. According to Grubner Group, they've forecasted that roughly 1.2 million Michigan voters have already cast their absentee ballots for today's primary. Mark Grubner of Grubner Group projecting now turnout could end up being as high as 2.3 to 2.4 million people. Half of the ballots already turned in, the other half being cast today. Grubner, also of Practical Political Data, originally estimated 2.1 to 2.2. However, with this large number of absentee ballots, shows that most people still voting today on Election Day could push the number to the highest midterm primary election in recent history, according to the Bureau of Elections. As of yesterday morning, 1,214,251 voters have cast their ballots. That represents 16.5% of our active registered voters. Only 138,680 people voted in person. 1,075,571 voted absentee, returned by mail, Dropbox, or given directly to the clerk's office. In-person voting increased 88.6% compared to the first statewide primary in which this option was available. Sunday was the busiest day of the 9-day statewide early voting. 24,218 people voted this past Sunday. Vicki and I were two of them. We're going to shift gears a little bit. Final half hour of today's show. We'll be right back.